Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together in your presence and we can come to your word. Lord, your word is what gives us understanding, what gives us life, what gives us strength, and what gives us victory. And so we just praise you and thank you, Lord, and we go to it, Lord, with an open heart to receive and to put it to work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, so this is really we are coming to the end of this series, and we are looking at how to put to work, how to release our faith. You know, gifts of the Holy Spirit are great things because they happen without us doing much. You know, it just happens. But faith doesn't work that way. Doesn't matter what you are, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter anything. You know, God is not a discerner of people. You know, treats everybody the same. And he's just, it's fair. So he's going to deal with everybody in the same way. And we all have to work, apply our faith to get the results by faith. And one of the things that, you know, want us to do is to act on our faith, to practice, to actually work it out. Okay, in James chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But do you not know, O foolish man, the faith without works or action is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by the works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar?" So you see, this is one of the components here we can see right away, okay, that the offering of the son to the altar was in response to what God had told him to do. So this always involved in action and obedience to God's direction. Either because God told us personally or because this is what the things that said the Bible to do. Okay, so obedience to the word, whatever ways came to us, is important to release our faith. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God, and then acting on what we heard. Okay? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? I mean, if you want, it was completed. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You know, today, with the hyper grace message, you know, people are so scared about falling into works. And really are messed up. They are confused. They end up doing nothing to be able to receive from God. See, works is when you do something to get something from God. When you want to achieve your salvation through doing something, essentially you are kind of paying for what you're going to get. When instead the works that we do are not done because we are going to get something back, but because we respond to the love that he has for us and we want to do the things that are pleasing to him. See, this is a completely different attitude, a completely different position that we take. So, you see, when a man is justified by works and not by faith, by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out in another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here he says something that is important to realize, and that we were actually made for good works. When we were born again, our spirit was recreated, and our spirit should motivate us to be there to produce good works, to do the things that God wants us to do. It's not an effort. To obey God is not grievous, the way it says in 1 John. It's a pleasure, pleasant things. It's a good thing to serve God, because you do it just out of the response to the love that he had for us. So we want to do these things. We want to serve God. We want to obey his direction. You know, what you do actually makes a difference. It's not that it doesn't matter what you do, the way the hypergrace message is confusing believers today. Okay, to overcome by faith, you had to mix your faith with your work, with the things that applying the obedience to God and seeing the results. You know, sometimes God calls us to do things, and then we had to respond to those things that he calls us to do, as you saw before when I was sharing, was reading about Abraham. You know, he sometimes calls us to do things that may be seem strange or may not be completely logical. But his logic is much superior to ours. And he knows better what we should do and what he's going to do. And what we have to remember, and that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Everything that we do as a born-again believer has to be in Christ. All the promises of God are not just for everybody. The promise of God, a yea and amen, but for who? In Christ. So the only basis for that to be yea and amen, that means yes, and so be it. That means, you know, when that means what that means is to say so be it, is really that it's done already. And if it's done already, that means has to happen. It's promised. It's not maybe. Okay, so we have a solid ground as long as we are in Christ. As long as the basis for our position with respect to God is to believe in what he has done, and that what he has done is sufficient to achieve all the things and to fulfill all the promises that God made us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, it was good what our sister here was sharing before, of God making us promises. And we're going to see this more in detail later on. You know, God making us promises. But then, you see, what we should do is to receive the promise by faith, the very moment in which God gives it to us. Receiving by faith is different than manifesting the promise. And I think that, you know, the use of words here is important. When God talks about receiving, it's really a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. When the manifestation comes, it's the physical thing. And the two things take place at different times, generally. There is always a gap between the two. You have to receive first to see the manifestation. Sometimes the gap is very small. Could be a second. Some other time, it could be a stretched out gap. But it doesn't matter. there is a purpose and there is a reason. But what we know is that with our promises are yea and amen, and we should not move from that position. Amen? Amen. Okay. So let's continue here. See, when it's important to see what we really believe. What are our beliefs? Because that is, often we think we believe what we really don't believe. We just agree with it. And this is what happened many times. So we have to be, there is a number of ways in which we can determine that. Possibly the least clear way is to see the way we think. Because our thoughts change from second to second. They can be coming in all directions. You know, we respond to the environment around us, the things that we see, the things that we hear. In 1 second, thoughts come to our mind. Now, one thing is to have a thought. Another one is to accept a thought. Accepting a thought, you know, starts with allowing him to dwell there. And then we kind of get used to it. Okay? So we have to be careful about our thought life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 10, verse 5 and following, you know, talks very clearly about what we had to do with our thoughts. We had to control our thoughts life. Because from our thoughts life is where things take root in us. You know, one of the major weapons, spiritual weapons, that is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 10:5 is, you know, we had to cast down imagination and any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, that means, you know, we had to be aware of what we are thinking. We have to be conscious. We cannot go around as believers just happily, you know, forgetting about what's going on inside ourselves. We have to be always conscious where we have been pushed. Are we going in the direction that God wants us to do, or are we going the direction that Satan wants us to go? Because there is a battle there and takes place in our mind. That is where the battles take place, even before it takes place in physical ways. And when we are not careful enough, so what happens in our mind, then, you know, the physical things start to develop. And we have to be aware and conscious of these things to be able to continue to work and to impose what it says, you know, the thoughts that God wants us to have and the results he wants to have. So really, you know, our thinking is an area in which there is changes, quick changes, in which manifesting themselves different ideas. And what we have to do is to always watch and see where our thoughts are going and stop ourselves whenever something goes off and goes in the direction of contrary to the word of God. Okay, so that's the first point. And really, you know, by itself is not going to help us very much except for the fact that we have to be conscious and aware. And we have to oppose and cast down all these things that do not agree with the word of God. Okay. Then the second part, second way that we can look at is what we say. Even this is not absolute. Because sometimes, you know, we say things because we know what we should be saying. And we don't want others to hear us saying things that are going to be making them disagree with us or not like us or say, how can you think that? Okay, so we exercise maybe more self-control in our language. But it's not that complete. You see, even that is not really absolute. Unless we are really careful, unless our thought life is properly organized or probably set, then it's going to slip out. Okay. Now, let me read. This area of this, what we say, is very important. In James chapter 3, it talks about this. It says, for we, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And here he's talking about, really, the ability to control the things we say. Now, evidently, you have to first control the things you think. All right? Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ship. Also, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, and that is now transferring these images to us, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great the forest a little fire kindle. So the idea is that when what we say, and we're going to see more in detail this, what we say has an impact on what's going to happen, has an impact on the results we're going to get. You see, thoughts are seeds in a way. Words that we are starting to speak are starting to see the leaves of the seeds coming out. And finally, the results are going to be the things that we've been talking about. All right. So, in conclusion for that, I'm not going to go too much into the detail because there are going to be other aspects I'm going to look at later. Okay. We had to take charge of our thoughts, life, and of our mouth, what we say. Okay. Faith speaks not the problems, but the results. So when we speak by faith, we are going to speak the things that we want to see happening, not the problems where we are having at that particular time. Okay. We speak the things that are not as though they were, the same way as God does. You see, we speak of the things that we want to happen. Okay. And but there is another thing that generally this is not said, but is the side backside of what I've been saying now. You know, faith does not speak of the things that are as though they are not. Do you understand what I said? You see, faith doesn't, if you have a problem, you don't say you don't have a problem. Because the truth is that the fact is that you have a problem. So you don't say I don't have a problem. But you can say, you know, the solution of the problem. If you say the other, what you're saying is contradicting reality. Okay. If you need money, you don't say, I don't need money. But you say, God is my provider. It's a very different thing. Otherwise, if you say, I don't need money, you are lying. See, we have to always be consistent. Because when we are not consistent, then we deny reality. But when we say that the things that God promised, we have, because we have received them by faith, then we are dealing with reality. We are dealing with the spiritual reality that is there. Okay, so that's the second thing that, you know, you see what you think, you see what you say, and then there is a third element, which is what you do. You see, really, that's the final, well, it's almost the final thing that is the development of your implementation of faith. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see, when you start doing the word in obedience, if there is a promise, you believe the word, and, you know, you start speaking the promise that you receive it, you start receiving it in your spirit. Okay. For example, you know, when you believe something, your action should correspond to what you believe. See, for example, you believe that you are healed, then you start acting like you are healed. Or you start acting more than you are healed than what you are. This is what you have to do. Often, you know, after you pray for people for healing or other things, say, okay, you know, what couldn't you do before? Try to do it now. See, this is the, you put your faith out to release the power of God to receive what God has promised to you and is going to be doing as you receive it by faith and as you release your faith. Are you understanding me? Okay. See, Lake says something, you know, John G. Lake says something, you know, said that, it is a law of human nature. He had a big healing ministry, you know, he had just 200,000 people. And, you know, one of the hospitals in Spokane was closed because of his ministry. he said, you know, it is a law of human nature that we can act ourselves into believing faster than we can believe ourselves into acting. You understand what he's saying? Okay? That we start acting as we believe it, and then we believe it. Okay, even before we can actually really believe it. Okay, so the bottom line is you must think right, you must speak right, and you must act right. Okay? Now, the point is, how do we act on the word? This is important to understand. Okay, go back to the scripture. We said this, although it's another one, but says the same thing that we said before. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26. Okay? So, the first things that the word has instructions and commands. Okay? So, we start being obedient to God's instructions and commands. That is really acting on the word. Okay, you just can't go around doing whatever we feel like it. If God says, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you are going obedience. You say, well, I never got anybody healed. What are you talking about? You know, just do what God said to do. And then the job is to do his rest. I'm not going to go into the detail of that issue, but, you know, the point is you be obedient to the word. Okay, in Matthew 7:24, says, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will like them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, which was the word of God. Okay? But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built a house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. So really, you see, this is one of the major, the most important thing. You don't need a word from heaven. You have a Bible. Start doing what the Bible says to do. This is not being legalistic. This is being obedient. There is a big difference. Okay? All right. So, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he reinforced that idea. Okay, Matthew 28, 19 says very clearly, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doesn't say, you know, just get them saved. It says, make disciples. Although today, sometimes in some circle, you know, to discipleship is a bad word. But Jesus wasn't for Jesus. Okay? Just because some people sometimes get off a tangent and make mistakes doesn't mean the thing is bad. Okay? Baptizing, okay, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and this is teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. I mean, if this is not obedient to the word, I don't know what you want more. You see, really, discipleship is nothing else than teaching people to obey what the word of God says. You know, you cannot be somebody that says, I'm born again, a follower of God, and do whatever you want to do. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are going to do what Jesus said you should be doing. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. And you are not in Christ. All right. So, all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So this is really the basic starting point. If that is not in place, forget about all the others. This is a starting point of obedience to the word. Is the doing the acting on the word. The second one, you know, is the way we act. And that relates to what we talked about what we say. You see, the things we say should line up with the word of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we were talking about before about controlling our mouth. We are saying, you know, that essentially, if we follow God and our heart is in the right place, we are going to say the right thing. Okay? And, you know, when we talk about faith, we talk about saying, in case that we are waiting for a manifestation of the gifts or a manifestation of our faith and the results, we are talking about the results that we are expecting. Here in Isaiah 46:10, you know, says very clearly the way God speaks that way. You know, he declaring the end from the beginning. From the ancient time, the things that are not and yet done, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure. So really, God speaks the things that he wants to implement, they want to see happening, okay? Before they are actually taking place. All the prophecies in the Bible really speak ahead of time of the things that would take place, for example, in the life of Jesus, and also in the events of the world, okay? Now, the bottom line here, if you want to release your faith, you have to speak what you want, not what you have. Okay. This is, you know, given clearly and explained in Matthew, Mark 11, 23. It's also in Matthew, but that's, I'm using Mark 11, 23. For assuredly, I say to you. I mean, this is, you know, when he says assuredly, means this is the truth. It's not just a supposition, it's not just a suggestion. Okay? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall be done, he will have whatever he says. So here it is. You know, he's talking about whoever says. And says to a mountain to be removed. I mean, essentially, it says something that is not there to be happening. Okay? It says, you know, what you have to do is to say it, the things that you expect to happen, believing in your heart and not doubting in your heart. Okay? Now, that depends on what you believe, evidently, isn't it? How easy is it to do for you to do that or not to do that? So you had to, if you had learned to decide what you believe, to decide what you think, to decide your position, to understand what faith is, it's a decision you made to believe something that God said, then this is what you do in this case. It says, it will have whatever he says. That means that it doesn't, you see, the implication is this is future tense. You say now, and we'll have later. So there is a difference in time between the time you say it and the time you see the manifestation. Okay. This is, if you see, for example, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, the disciples heard him. He left. Nothing changed. So, you know, most of the people say, oh, it didn't work. Well, that's because for things to happen from the spirit world to the physical world, sometimes there is a time that has to take place. They came by the following day, and the tree was dried up from the roots. You see, when he said that, he said, no man shall eat. He didn't say to dry up from the root. All right? He said, no man shall eat up of your fruit because essentially, you know, he was expecting the tree to produce fruit for him to be able to eat it. See, the purpose of the fruit, of the tree, was to produce figs. And that purpose was not satisfied by that tree. And so he said, well, you didn't do it. Tough luck. Okay? So that, and that was also a lesson for the disciples. Okay? And so what happened is that the seed tree by itself, to be able to not produce fruit anymore, it just dried up from the roots. But took a day to happen. Now, some time may take much longer than a day when we speak, but the point is, according to our faith, according to how much faith we release, how much of power we release, is going to happen. Okay? So let me continue here, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You see, there is a distinction here between receiving them and having them. Between the receiving, that means, you know, yes, I believe that I got it, and the time when you are going to be manifested. Okay? All right. So this is the second part, the second way to actually act on the word of God. First one was to obey the instruction. Number two, to speak in accordance to the word. Okay? Number three is confessing the word or confessing the promises. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. You see, there is, before you are saved, you should be doing that. You should confess what Jesus has done for you and you believe it, what he has done. Okay? For the heart, you believe into righteousness, and with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, your righteousness is what happened to your spirit. Your salvation is the change that takes place within you, both internally and externally. Now, this is another scripture that I want to mention. It's 2 Corinthians 4:13. This is when, it's okay. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. You see, when we believe something and we speak it out, our spirit of faith, our faith within ourselves is activated and released. So when we believe something, we should say that. And the more we say it, and the more it's okay to keep saying it. Until it's coming to pass, we can keep saying it. Why? Because we are releasing our faith. All right? All right. So what we are really doing in this case is taking the promises, believing the promises, speaking the promises according to the fact that we believe those promises, so then we release our faith to receive them and to have them manifested. We haven't finished. There is another way. Okay? And that way still comes through our mouth. And it's praising God for the answer before we are having it. Okay? In Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, who, contrary to hope, or expectation or confidence, if you want, in hope believe. This was Abraham. You know, he chose to be confident. So that he became the father of many nations. According to what he was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So you see, he chose to believe God that has spoken to him. Okay? So that was a choice that we made. Okay? But he didn't stop there. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay. Later on, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So you see, the thing is, he started giving glory to God for the answer that he hasn't materialized yet, but because of the promise that God had given him. So it's always a good thing to start thanking God if you see a promise that you had to receive from God even before you received it. You start thanking God for what he has promised you, because the promises are here in amen. So you start thanking God. Yes, I receive it. I thank you. I receive it. It's mine, and it's going to, and I shall have it. So it's not that I may have it, or I may, you know, maybe I'm going to have it. No, I shall have it because you promised it. And the promise is a yea and amen, and I'm in Christ, and I believe what he has done. The effectiveness of the work that he did for me. Are you following me? Verse 21. And being fully convinced or persuaded, so many translations, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, that's why you praise God. Because what he promised is going to be able, not just be able, but he's going to perform. Okay? And therefore, it was accounted for him as righteousness. He did not receive. Abraham did not receive from God because he was faultless, because he never made any mistakes. He made lots of mistakes. I mean, he was selling his wife. He was doing things that really, you know, show that, do you have faith, really? He was afraid of being killed, so he was giving his wife away. He was doing other things at that time. So you see that he wasn't perfect. But he believed the promise. And because he believed the promise, he was accounted for him for righteousness. And that's the thing we had to do. You know, if you wait to receive from God to be perfect, you can wait a long time. You probably never going to get it because you're never going to be perfect. But when you depend on what Jesus has done instead of what you did, You try to do the best you can with what you have, trying to obey God, try to follow His direction, try to believe His promises and try to hold on to the promises. But after that, you just believe that He's faithful and He's going to come true. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, in just the following verse, Romans 4:23 says, "Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus from our Lord from the dead." So you see, everything that's talking about the Old Testament, the purpose of talking about these things that happened then was just because they apply to us just as well. So praising God, even when our circumstances are not good, praising God, even when we are going through a difficult time, is a way to release our faith to receive from God the promises. You can see an example of that, for example, when Paul and Silas were in Philippi and were beaten up and bleeding on the back and everything else, thrown in jail. What did they do at midnight? They were praising God aloud, you know, and lifting up their voices in praising the Lord. And that's when, you see, that was released, the power of God to make earthquakes and to break their chain free. There was a period of time in the late 70s in which really this idea of praising God was spreading through Christian circles. You know, they wrote a number of books, you know, The Power of Praise and other things like that, in which the idea of praising God, you know, as a way of releasing our faith and receiving from God was communicated to the believer so that they could start using it to enable them to receive from God. Okay, we've been talking about positive things here. Let's take in the negative side now, just for a minute. Okay, evidently, if obedience to the word, obedience to the command, obedience to thing produces good results, disobedience is not going to produce results. All right. So we have to be careful to be disobedient. Okay. Not controlling our tongues is one of the disobedience that we may make. Okay. And not controlling it, you know, in the Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruits. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, what you say is important. If you say the wrong thing, you're going to plant bad seeds and you're going to get bad results. Okay, one of the things that, I want to close with this. One of the things that we can see with Israel as they were leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. One of the things that we can see that they often complained. They were complaining about everything. I mean, God was delivering them from bondage. They opened up the Red Sea. They had a mountain, fire on the back. They were surrounded by supernatural events. One event after the other. And they would always forget what God had done. And they start complaining with Moses, you know, what? You know, you've taken us in the desert to die here. We don't have any water. We eat always this funny food, manna, that come from heaven. I mean, you know, the problem is with us in general, okay, that we only see the things that we look at the moment instead of looking at really what's going on and be honest about it. I mean, they should be elated by the things that were taking place. all the miracles they got, you know, the deliverance that they got from the Egyptians, they all died. And then, you know, they just went through the Red Sea without any problem. You know, and after that, you say, how can anybody do that? Well, I wouldn't say that too much, because we are all the same. The same thing was written for us, you know. We had to realize that we tend to be not very good at looking at things in the right perspective. And we get caught up into small things that sometimes are not important. We had to look at the whole picture. We had to look at what God has done, all the things. This is why. And this is David's principles, actually, that bring it up. You know, David wasn't a perfect man. He was a murderer, you know. Pardon? Adulterer. I mean, you can put lots of things there. Yet, he had one capacity. God loved him because of, you know, his heart was in the right place. Now, the thing is, sometimes our heart may be in the right place, but we are messed up. Okay? So, but the idea is this. You know, that you remember when he had to fight Goliath. This is David's principle I want to bring to you. You know, he didn't go by the situation he was seeing. He was going by what happened before. Says, you know, the Lord was with me when the lion came and when the, you know. And that was remembrance, remembering the thing. This is why it's so important to remember what God has done for us, because the things that God has done for us, he's going to do again. And so we can put our trust in him. And as we do, you know, we can defeat bigger enemies because God is with us. And we can speak the way David spoke when he confronted Goliath. Amen? Okay, well, that we covered, you know, let me see here. We covered everything. That's the way, you know, essentially, there is one more thing, though, but I don't have the time today. Essentially, these are all the way that we act on that. But you know what the basic thing is? To trust God. Trusting God, trusting that he's faithful, trusting his word, that is the basis of everything. You know, all these things that I say, I brought up the word about different things that you do, say, and so on. But if you don't believe the word, you're not going to do any of these things because they mean nothing. So the bottom line, you trust God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all, you know, just that's the basis. And you trust that he's faithful. And the Bible is full of those statements in which you see that God is faithful. And when he promised something, he's going to do it. And with that, we finished. I could have read some more scripture, but amen. Now, you know, just on the question of having heard that, hearing and not doing doesn't do anything. You have to be a doer of the word. And you know, one of the important principles about being a doer of the word is that you have to do it right away. You had to put it to work right away. Within 72 hours, if you don't put it to work, you're going to lose it. Amen? Amen? So I encourage you, if you took notes, go through the notes. Just think about it. Just start to put, you know, just take the notes and say, okay, this is a good idea. No, you know, what does it mean for me? What do I have to do about that? What can I do? What I have to change? You know, I think this is going to be on the web sometime soon. So that everybody can re-listen to it. You know, this is so important because this is what's going to make the difference. That's how you put into practice the word. And often people don't understand that. You know, say, well, what do I do? How am I going to put in practice? This is the way you do it in the different areas. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we are your children and you care for your children. You've given us Jesus so that our shortcomings and our weaknesses can be overcome, Lord, and you can overlook them and you can express your love toward us, giving us the things that we need, allowing us to receive from you, Lord, according to your grace, all the things that you have promised to us. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your word that is a clear, Lord, direction and instruction for our life. We just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give to us day by day. And we thank you, Lord, for the love that you manifest in us and through us to others. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, to be zealous, to get to the word of God, and to fill us up with your word, because that is where the power is. Lord, that's where our beliefs are affected. That's where our faith is developed. That's where the results are going to come from. Lord, that we may have not just a communion with your word, but even communion with you. That we may live day by day, moment by moment, in your presence. That we may know that we are never left nor abandoned, but that you are with us all the time. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, help us to minister to each other. Lord, help us to be in fellowship with people of the same faith and belief, so that we can help each other to believe you and to receive from you the things that we need. Lord, to see manifested in our lives and in the life of those we come in contact with, Lord, your promises. Praise the Lord. And Lord, then thank you again for your Holy Spirit who guides us, minister to us, show us the truth, empower us, and enable us to overcome. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us. Help us to put to work everything we know in our life so that we may manifest your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.